Welcome back to Forward Pressing, episode 96. You got Kevin here, I got Yanis with me. How you doing, bro?
How you doing, man? I'm asking you, because I know you're going through it right now.
I'm not doing well. We're recording this right after the United game, September 16th, United-Brighton, and we just got slapped. No other way to say it. We're going to talk about that later today. We're going to talk about the international break a little bit. There's some controversy that we'll mention as well near the end of the podcast. But mostly we got some Prem topics to talk about today. Should we just get right into it? You want to start with international break?
Yes, sir. I was going to ask you if you saw anything that stood out to you. I happened to watch the Brazil-Bolivia highlights. And I saw Neymar actually broke Pelé's record. So Neymar is Brazil's all-time goal scorer. Congratulations to him.
I feel like that was inevitable.
That was inevitable, but yeah. I mean, to be able to do it is, I mean, it's pretty sick. So kudos to him. He looked good. He looked too good to play in Saudi. I'm just going to say it. But hey, it is what it is. He's gone now.
Yeah, because he is, and he literally just went for retirement league. I'm seeing some Saudi highlights from him, and the defenders look like they don't even know how to run backwards.
Yeah, I think he had one assist, I think, yesterday. I didn't see the highlights. I just know that he played yesterday.
I mean, it looks like Farmers League anyways. I mean, you don't have this on the layout, but I wanted to talk about it. Besides the stuff with Germany, which was, I don't know, was it surprising to you or not?
Yes and no. Yes, because Hansi Flick didn't have a good World Cup. But I also thought that he would have been given a bit more time. But if you consider the timeline, they have the Euros this summer, and like Germany has to at least get to the Final Four, in my opinion. So if they have to like change house or clean house, they might as well do it early. Especially considering that the beatdown that Japan gave them on the weekend, 4-1 against in Germany too. So, and I know they bounced back against France, but like it wasn't convincing too. So yeah, I guess they did need to clean house. So it makes sense to go. I guess it does make sense to get rid of him now.
Who do you think they get to replace him?
Well, I mean, everybody wants Jurgen Klopp. That's not going to happen, obviously. I think Jurgen Klopp was mentioned, Nagelsmann was mentioned, but I think Nagelsmann just doesn't fit into national football yet, or at least he's not ready for Germany, at least the national team.
I don't think he would want that. I feel like he would want it. He still wants to try to, you know, cement himself as a club manager.
Yeah, agreed. Right now, I think there's a mention of Rudi Völler. I think he's the one that actually took interim coach right now, Rudi Völler. I think he, if I remember correctly, he had some experience with Leverkusen, if I'm correct. I might be wrong on that. We'll have to double check. Fact check me on that. I'm not too familiar with the German coaches, so I don't really know, to be honest with you, who would be the best to take over. Because I know it's going to be local. They're not going abroad for a coach.
Do you think it matters, or do you think they just need a change of pace?
I think it matters because you can kind of see like the players are the same from like World Cup and stuff, but like it's gotten worse. It feels like. It does feel like they need a change of pace, but I also think that there seems to be like a lack of a system or identity, which you don't really see with Germany. The way they play is not like the other German team that we've seen in the past. So it seems like there's no like a legitimate identity of like what the team is supposed to do on this pitch. Like they have the talents there, obviously.
How come I'm not seeing any of the German? Is Germany not in the Euro? Like
they're hosting it.
Okay, so they're auto-qualified. Okay, got it. I'm an idiot.
No worries. But yeah, I don't really see, like, it seems like Germany... I mean, you've seen this in the World Cup, too, like, the lack of, I guess, creativity, the lack of imagination. It doesn't feel like a German team, like, especially considering what we saw in 2014. Like, that was peak Germany. It seems like they've gone away from that. Obviously, times change and, like, players change, but the German identity seems to be in questions right now, and they have to figure out best way to go forward. So far, it hasn't worked out.
I think there's also kind of like a low-key change of the guard, you know, like kind of like Belgium, where the older, more stable players are kind of phasing out. And Germany has a lot of young talent, but I feel like nobody to kind of like, you know, be the face of the next generation type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, You would think that the face of the generation would be someone like a Kai Havertz. He's been like brought up as the next one, but I don't think it's him. If anything, it seems like it's...
I mean, nah, he's not that guy. He's not him.
He's not that guy, yeah. I don't think it can be like a Gnabry or a Sané because they're sort of from the past generations. They're like obviously established players. I guess they should be the ones leading, really. But if you think about maybe the Goretzka, you could say the same thing about Goretzka or Kimmich. Like if Florian Wirtz, for example, who's just come into stage, especially since last year, like he's the one that he will build on. Musiala is obviously there as well. So those two are players that they should start building around as well. So they have the players, the talent is there. Like it's not a lack of talent, but I just think like the system just isn't working for them or whatnot.
My biggest surprise for international break was the England call-ups, because we got to talk about why Harry Maguire is still getting called up when he's not even playing games anymore. And we got players like we got players that are playing well for their club and in English, and they're not even getting an opportunity.
I think it's safe to say that Southgate definitely has his favorites.
I think we're gonna look back at this generation of English teams for the last couple years of the last couple World Cups and Euro Cups, and we're gonna look back and we're gonna say how Southgate squandered all the opportunities. It feels like he's had so much talent to use, and has never had like quote unquote like optimal lineup. He's made questionable decisions in call ups and starting lineups. Like feel like every tournament, and when it comes to the big moments, I feel like he's tactically got it wrong all the time. And just made questionable decisions all around. So I feel like, and England has like performed, like have had decent results in terms of finishing in the World Cups and Euro Cups. But I feel like they could have been like title challengers every time, and they've kind of messed it up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like this is probably going to be his last tournament. I think there was rumors that he's supposed to leave towards the end of like towards the World, when the World Cup ended. I thought he was going to leave then, but he's still here, obviously. I hope that he starts.
I mean, I still think back to like him subbing on Rashford and Sancho, who were like some of their best players during the tournament, didn't play at all during the games, and then subs them on right before shootout, and they both miss. That just feels like his biggest failure.
That wasn't a pretty good move from on this part for sure. And there were some repercussions, but I mean, this for them to even make the final was pretty good, in my opinion, because I didn't see that happen at that time. But still,
I mean, definitely. But it just goes to show how much talent the team has that they can be like slightly mismanaged like that and still lose, and still like make it that far. But then ultimately, they're gonna lose.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotta be able to. Because England has so much talent. Like honestly, in terms of the talent, like we talk about France and Brazil every time, but England is not far off from them.
Yep.
Like Foden is still.
No, they're up there now. They've been up there.
I don't know. It just hasn't worked. I don't know if it's a system issue or if it's a Southgate issue. I don't see who else would be like.
If they had a better manager throughout these last tournaments, they win at least one of them. That's my opinion.
Who would you, I mean, could you give me a name?
I mean, listen, there's so many names that are better than Southgate, to be honest. But they want an English manager, and a lot of English managers are obviously in club football. So it'd be tough, but I don't rate Southgate at all. I've been saying this.
The only one I can think of right now on top of my head is Eddie Howe, but obviously he's taken.
I mean, I think Eddie Howe would have done much better with this team than Southgate.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the talent, bro. Like, Foden is flying. Saka is in the best form of his life, really. I mean, Rashford is Rashford. You know what you're gonna get from Rashford.
He was in the best form of his life in the past tournaments, and he didn't even get consistent playing time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's an issue with injuries or stuff, but Rashford definitely didn't have. I think he deserved more of a shot.
Squad selections, Maguire being the team captain is just a disgrace when we know he's been ass, even though when he was United captain, like...
Yeah, I mean, on the Maguire stuff, I feel like this just him being captain kind of brings more spotlight to him that he really needs. I feel like right now he's kind of should not him, but like the attention to him is so high. And like, even I think there was some comments made by I think a family member of his recently about like my man is getting too much abuse and stuff like that, which I think is true. Like, he's getting more harsher comments. He's getting harsher moments than everybody else. Like, the I think they played Scotland in the international break. He scored a non goal, but it wasn't really his fault. And like, I mean, I think I'm not gonna call you out, but even you said like, of course it has to be Maguire.
It had to. It was always gonna be him. But yeah, obviously it wasn't his fault, but still, kind of just like the fact that it's him will add on to everything.
Exactly. Like, the guy just has been unlucky. He's been really unlucky in so many times.
I mean, he's been bad, and then after being bad, he's been unlucky, perhaps. But I just mean, like, there's no reason that he should be starting that game when there's... Like, I would have started Colwell, if anything.
Yeah, or even Lewis Dunk. I mean, Lewis Dunk looked like...
And there's, like, so many better options. I think all the other options are probably better.
Yeah, I do feel like he probably should... Maguire should probably... Not Maguire, but, like, if Southgate wants to help Maguire, like... Should probably let him like stay low, focus on United for now, or at least, yeah. Cause sorry, I mean, at least don't put him in the spotlight every game, especially when there's better options than him.
He didn't start him last game. He brought him on at halftime, but and then
the goal happened.
And then that happened. Yeah.
That just sucks, bro. That just sucks.
Like, you got Tomori, you got Colwell. These guys are on the bench. They're not even playing.
Lewis Dunk.
Yeah, I mean, Dunk has been starting, but like, England has so much talent. Harry Kane at the top. You have like Rashford, Bellingham, Foden, Eze, Saka, like all these dudes. Madison doesn't even play. You got Declan Rice.
The team is there. The depth is there. Like, honestly,
I mean, they're stacked.
They're stacked.
So I don't know. I think Southgate's got a. I think he's got a dip. Yeah, I think England. I was gonna say United. I think England don't win a trophy with him. I don't think that's a hot take.
I don't think it's a hot take. I just wonder who's gonna take over after him, because eventually he will leave.
Who do you think's England's best goalkeeper?
Right now I'd say Ramsdale.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, the alternative is Pickford or John Stone.
Immortal Pickford. Or Nick Pope.
Yeah, but he hasn't been really getting... He didn't get called up this last time, I don't think.
He was injured or something, but he's usually part of the three.
No, he's playing. It was John Stone, Ramsdale, and Pickford. I like John Stone, but I don't know. They just signed another keeper as well, Palace, no?
I believe so. I can't remember his name, though. I don't remember. I have to check that. But John Stone has been solid. He's been solid, especially taking over Guaita, because Guaita doesn't want to be like on second on the bench. Yeah, Johnson's been solid. He's earned a shot, really. But to me, Ramsdale is first for sure.
Oh, they signed Henderson.
Oh, Dean Henderson?
Dean Henderson from United. Yeah, from United. He was supposed to go to Forest, and that fell through, and then he went to Palace.
Dean Henderson, that's another one that, damn. Could have been the one. He could have been number one, really.
He could have been the one if De Gea wasn't there. Maybe he gets starting opportunity, he plays well, develops, gets the England call-up, and he can be the guy who they kind of foil all his plans.
Yeah, and then, I mean, United just moved on from him pretty quickly, too.
All right, let's talk about United right now, because, I mean, it's not good. We lose today to Brighton. Didn't look good. I will say, to be fair, we're missing a lot of players. I think the most important player we're missing is Varane, because our defense looks shambolic. And it looks like all over the place with no structure. The amount of balls we just let in through the slot with uncovered opposing players just there to finish it off. It's kind of embarrassing. But yeah, we're missing a lot of players. I mean, the Sancho drama, the Anthony drama, like, that's just not good for the club. I don't know. I feel like in the form that we're in now, I mean, I think Rashford was subpar today. I think he's very selfish. I feel like everybody kind of saw that. A lot of chances to play the ball and create opportunities, but I feel like he just wants to do it all himself. Maybe he feels the responsibility of like the poor performances of the team and kind of wants to be a difference maker, but he's trying too hard maybe to do it all alone. I think Bruno was not involved today. Not really his fault. It just kind of felt like we didn't have possession, and the game just wasn't flowing through him, which I think our best games are the when it flows through him. But yeah, I mean, we're missing a lot of options. Hoyland, I think, was good. He's still coming into his own. I think he's still getting used to the structure and the tactics and everything. But I liked what I saw from him today. Should have had a goal. I think that was like, honestly, I didn't see one convincing angle that said it was completely out, that the ball was completely out of bounds. And when in doubt like that, I feel like you just got to give away the call that's on the field. So I was kind of surprised that they overturned that, because I saw one angle that looked like clearly out, and then I saw one angle that looked clearly in. So I'm like, I don't know. And usually when those kind of happen, you feel like they just kind of give the goal because they can't like for sure rule it out. The fact that they didn't was kind of surprising, because that would have changed the game completely. Like 1-1 and Hoyland scores.
It's a game changer, really.
Yeah, game changer. Like we got shafted last week too with Garnacho being offside by, I don't know, like a millimeter, and they're calling that, and then right after we get scored on and it's over. So kind of feel like unlucky.
One thing for sure, there's going to be talk about the offside rule at the end of the season for sure. You got to figure out something about that, because it's getting a little out of control. Like, yeah, last week it was Garnacho, and yeah, it was close, but I mean, yeah, like I told you last week, I thought it was a goal for sure. I thought he was in. It was a good finish too. By the way, why did he not? I guess my question would be, like, in terms of the, obviously all year you have enough. You Rashford is your left winger for sure, but on the right, it seems like the question marks are gonna be like, why not start Pellistri? I know Garnacho prefers the left.
I wish I had an answer for you, to be honest. That was kind of. I believe in Ten Hag, but today I feel like there was just a couple of things that he got wrong, and the fact that the team didn't show their full talent and play to it, I feel like it just kind of like internal collapse. We had chances, we created chances, we had like dangerous opportunities, but felt like every chance we had, there was a Brighton player right in front. Whereas every chance a Brighton got, I feel like we had four defenders doing nothing and the Brighton player all alone, and that was kind of the difference today.
I'm starting to consider why not start Dalot there.
I mean, Dalot was playing. Right back, and I feel like Dalot has been doing really well. I feel like we're missing Varane is.
But he's played where I'm still winger in the past. I've seen him play winger in the past sometimes. Rarely,
but sometimes. But we have winger. We're supposed to have Anthony. We're supposed to have Sancho there. And like, I mean, I think Sancho's done. You want to talk about that? I don't think he's playing for United anymore. Like ever again.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the guy, my man, was in New York partying. Amidst of all the controversy, I think the post that he made, I mean, it wasn't a good move.
No, and he took it down after.
Yeah, but I don't think it helped his case, especially considering that people saw him in New York after.
No, I think most United fans are kind of on Ten Hag's side here. Like, I've sent you the post. We've broke it down before, where you know Ten Hag gave him time off to, you know, deal with his mental struggles and everything. Has been really patient with him, and the fact that I feel like it's the same mistakes that have like plagued him his whole career, like being late, kind of like not taking it seriously sometimes, the lack of commitment, I feel like the manager won't tolerate that. And we've seen it before. We've seen him discipline players in the past, and most of them have bounced back, but I feel like Sancho is not taking it well, and he's doing this, and it's going to be it's problematic. I think his United career is done, which is a shame, because we spend so much money on him and he has so much potential. English player coming to England's biggest club. I don't know. It's just failed project.
I've been listening to a lot of Athletic recently, the Athletic podcast. They did mention Sancho, of course, and they were talking about how the discipline issues that you see now at United seem to be the same that Dortmund saw. But it seemed like Dortmund was a bit more lenient into like how to, I guess, manage him, and
he was their star player.
It was him and Haaland, and apparently, I think the coach Terzic was adamant of like making sure that Sancho was kind of like linking up with Haaland like more often than not, just so you can see the professionalism that Haaland showed, and see if it could rob off Sancho. And then, I mean, the results were there. They got a cup out of that. They were playing very well. They almost won the league, to be honest.
They should have.
They should have. And then obviously now there's he's now United. It just I don't know. It just hasn't worked out. Like I can't really name you a performance where I saw Sancho like stood out. Ever since he got there, I don't know. I don't know if a change of scenery is necessary here because I don't feel like him and Ten Hag are on the same page. And he seems like, I mean, he did mention the mental health stuff and, like, the struggles that he was having. But his actions just don't match that. Like, never mind the New York partying, just, like, being late to training. It happens often, too often, apparently, for him.
It's unacceptable at this level. It's unacceptable.
I just feel like maybe a change of scenery is necessary at this point to recover. Maybe see if he can get his confidence back. I don't know where he goes. I feel like I'm always going to mention Brentford, but like maybe a Brentford could be something. Maybe back in Germany, but I don't. Is going back to Germany really like the best thing for him? That remains to be seen. But he definitely needs a change of scenery for sure.
I wonder what he wants.
That's a good question, because I feel like everybody talks about Sancho, but Sancho.
What about Spurs? I mean, what are your thoughts on them? I mean, they had a kind of like a poor performance today, but they still came out with a win in magical fashion, 12 minutes of extra time. Richarlison gets a goal, who I feel that's the last person you would think would get a goal at this point. I'm genuinely happy for him. I feel like he's dealing with a lot of kind of like the yips with scoring. I feel like it's just everything is going wrong, but he got one today, and honestly, I'm happy for him. But I think today, with the performance against Sheffield, I mean, they were down 1-0 the whole game, and then they end up winning 3-1. I kind of feel like it's kind of just a little bit of a reality check that, you know, they're not perfect either, even though they've shown a lot of promise. I think Son coming into his own and playing more of an attacking instead of on the wing, he's playing more central, and I feel like that's been like really good for them. To replace Harry Kane, I mean, because Son is a talent. We must not forget. Madison has been really good for them, but I don't know. You think they're a dark horse team this year?
I think, I mean, it's early days, but from what they showed so far, like this, I don't know if the sample size is big enough, but yeah, it seems to me like they might be. I mean, they haven't lost. I think, right?
I think if I had to name a dark horse, I don't know if they're a dark horse anymore, but Brighton, I think they're title challengers this year.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They got so much talent. They got like three forward options on the bench that could probably start for most other teams in the league and be clinical. So I think they just got so much to play with. I think they're nasty.
One thing though about Brighton, and I guess why I would put Spurs as a dark horse ahead of him, is that because Spurs doesn't have any European competition this year, and Brighton has the Europa League, therefore obviously they have a lot more to like worry about. Spurs only has to focus on the Prem, and to me that, I mean, considering the streak they've been on and the way they've been playing, there's no reason for me to see where it would stop. Obviously, there's going to be some difficulties ahead. There's going to be some tougher results. But if they only have one competition to focus on, I feel like it's for them, top three is very realistic at this point.
I think they're going to finish in a Champions League spot. I think Man City. I think probably Arsenal. I think Brighton could be there. I think it's going to be them. I mean, I don't want to say United right now. I'd put Newcastle up there. I mean, they're playing right now, but they haven't started the season off too hot. If anything, they've started really bad. But that should be a team that has the talent to like compete for Champions League football again. They play Champions League football. I feel like they have some tough matchups. They may just, like you said, kind of get beaten down by the amount of games they have to play.
Well, I know we already had like made our top five for like at the beginning of the season. I propose that we do the same thing comes January, so at the new year, and see with the updated table, see what happens, and see how the table is, and then we can kind of, I guess, update our top six predictions from there. But I do think that, like you said, Brighton is gonna struggle with having two competition with Europe. And obviously they have the FA Cup and the Prem, so the depth hasn't been tested enough, in my opinion. I think they have a strong bench, like you said. Like even today, Aaron Ferguson was on the bench. Fatu came off the bench. Like And they, I mean, at that point, the game was already over for at that point. But still, that's very telling. But I've been very impressed with the way Spurs play. They've been very. I've seen last week's game, and it was pretty. Well, 2 weeks ago, it was pretty like the way that Postecoglou plays is very attractive. He loves the attacking football. He loves the creativity. I think Madison. We didn't mention Madison in terms of transfers last week, but. In terms of the best transfers of the summer, I said Szoboszlai, but Madison might be up there as well. He's been very good ever since he got with Spurs. Really,
he's made such a big impact. Yeah,
he's had a big impact. They've obviously spent the money on the K money pretty well, getting him as well as Brennan Johnson, who's up and comer. But yeah, I really like the Madison signing. So far, I think it's probably one of the. I mean, ahead. I wouldn't put him ahead of Szoboszlai, but he's probably second. My second best signing of the summer so far. I am looking forward to see what happens next for them. I know they have North London Derby next week, so that's gonna be a big one. Obviously, I'm a bit biased, but I'm expecting a good game. And to be honest, I kind of like the guy as well. Outside of just the coach, I just like Postecoglou as a guy. He just seems chill. He seems very chill. I don't know if it's the Australian in him. It might be the Australian.
He seems chill. I think the Zerbi wins Coach of the Year though.
Ooh, I think those two are going to be contenders for sure. But I don't want to give it to the Zerbi yet.
I think the Bolts are going to be contenders definitely.
You know what we should have done? We should have put the award. We should have gotten like every award and just have prediction at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Like Coach of the Year, top scorer, and stuff like that. We'll do that at the new year. But like going forward, that's a thing that we should probably think about doing.
That'd be cool. What did I want to say? You want to talk about Pogba? Because that's some serious things.
Yeah. We can finish on that if you want. Unless you have something else you wanted to mention.
I mean, do you want to mention the Spain president first?
Oh, Rubiales resigning? Well, yeah, that was expected.
Yeah.
My man had no choice. Actually, was too big on that. My man had to go.
Yeah.
My man had to go.
There was no hiding that. All right, Pogba. This was surprising to me, man. Like... This might be it.
That came out of nowhere. I was not like there was no. I mean, you can't really expect those type of news, but like that was shocking.
I mean, I think he's probably done. That's gonna be the end.
I mean, the suspension hasn't been. He hasn't been like I guess sentenced yet for a suspension, but it seems like it could be 1 to 4 years. And if it is, I mean, you're right. Where is
he? He's been injured. He hasn't like played in 2 years. Like he's been off the map, and then to like come back and this happens right away. I mean, I don't know how you deal with that.
Apparently, the game that he got tested, he didn't even play. I think it was Udinese, and you know, at the end of the game, like they'll do like a random test. They'll pick somebody, and he got picked. That's how he got caught.
What are the odds? But I mean, still, like that's you're doing some illegal shit.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot that we don't know about this story, but fact is, he did admit that he did it. They did use it. So that's already a lot.
I'm sure, I guess it was to help his recovery. Like, it was testosterone, right? Like, that's help him build muscle back or something. I don't even know. But it just kind of feels like he tried to get away with one and it didn't work out.
Like I said, there's a lot that we still don't know about this situation. It's shocking that it was him.
It was like a big name.
That's one of the biggest names. I really think that, I mean, the guy has had a lot, like a tough, really, the last few years were tough for the guy, to be honest, like injuries and then like.
Since leaving United, the last couple of years at United. And then post him leaving, there's been nothing.
Obviously, the family drama as well. It just hasn't been good for him. This is just like, I don't want to say the icing on the cake, but like in a negative sense, just because it came out of the like it came out of nowhere. I don't really see how he recovers from this, because if it's 1 to 4 years and he's already 31, I think, like, at this point, why even keep playing? It would really suck to end a career like that. I mean, he's had a great career. Don't get me wrong. The World Cup from 2018 is greatly part because of him and his leadership. If he's not there, they don't win the World Cup. If he's not there, France doesn't have the 2018 World Cup.
Oh, he was the leader. He was the leader for that France team.
I mean, you can even argue that if he was there in 2022, maybe they have that World Cup too. But it's kind of sad. I'm not even mad at I there's no reason for me to be mad at this, because obviously it doesn't concern me or anything. But it's just sad. It's a sad ending to a potentially great career or a great player.
Yep. I mean, when he was at Juve, I feel like he was at the top of his game. He was probably arguably the best midfielder in the world. That's why he got the United move, and everything was coming down at that point.
Do you think United move was the right one?
Yes. I think the United move was the right one. I think United mishandled everything, as usual. I mean, I feel like the coaching wasn't compatible. I feel like we brought him in and we did nothing else. I feel like it kind of just defeated the purpose of paying that much for a player like him, where we're not going to commit to the process at that point. But we're not going to go through that into that.
Yeah, like it did feel like the team wasn't...
We didn't surround him with talent.
Like you didn't... not very fair, but like you didn't... If this is the type of player... This is the type of player you build a team around.
Exactly. And we didn't. United.
I'm starting to wonder maybe the United move was the right one.
He could have stayed at Juve and been at the top for probably a while longer.
Yeah, but Juve definitely needed the money, so he was going to leave regardless. It's a question of like where.
They needed the money, and I feel like if him leaving, when I say the United move was the right one, I'm taking into account him inevitably leaving Juve, and I feel United at the time was the best option. United or Madrid. And probably Madrid would have probably still be there right now.
Probably would still be right there right now. That would have been a crazy move if he got the Madrid one. That would have been very crazy.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
It's sad. It is what it is. It's sad, but hopefully there's. I guess I don't really know what a good news would be in this situation. Like maybe a small attendance. Like
he doesn't get suspended. That'd be a good news.
I think he's gonna get suspended for sure. It's just a matter of the length.
But realistically, you think if he gets suspended a year, he comes back and he plays somewhere at a level like.
If it's a year, maybe he will come back. I just don't know where he would, because I don't think Juve like Juve. If he is sentenced, I think Juve has an option of like, I guess cut his contract, but release him. We'll have a mutual like contract, I guess disagreement or whatnot. So it is possible that he would leave Juve.
Then if you're in charge, he's going to end up at Brentford.
Hey, he might be. It's London. It's an option.
He'll be back and he'll link up with Ivan Toney.
Bro, Ivan Toney, once Ivan Toney comes back, Brentford are going to be flying, I'm telling you. They're flying right now, but it's going to be even better when he gets here.
I guess we'll see.
I was listening to this podcast about with Ivan Toney, and now I forget the name. It's a British guy that runs it, and then they were just talking about Ivan Toney itself and how he got to where he was, and then the gambling issues and stuff. And like, yeah, I understand the guy a bit more, but still, don't gamble.
Well, I mean, when you're involved in the game, that's the bad part.
That's the bad, especially when you're involved in the game you're gambling on. That's the bad part.
Yeah. I mean, that's why he got caught. All right, I guess that's episode 96 in the books. Any last thoughts you want to add?
North London Derby next week. Champions League starting this week again. Big Champions League week.
I cannot wait to see United get destroyed by Bayern Munich.
Score prediction?
All right, I got 3-0 Bayern.
Oh my god, I was gonna say the same thing. I'm gonna say 3-1 to be different.
All right, let me ask you one more: Milan or Newcastle?
Milan.
I got Newcastle 2-1.
Milan 2-0.
Ooh, okay, interesting. All right, I guess we'll see. That's gonna wrap it up. Episode 96 in the books. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, really appreciate it. Make sure you follow us on socials. @_pressing, @forwardpresspod. Drop us a follow if you're notified every time the episodes go live. We really appreciate your presence. We really appreciate you listening. And we'll see you next time. Hopefully we'll have some Champions League to talk about. Hopefully we'll have some better United news to talk about. And we'll see you later. Peace.
Peace.